This is Hidden Mickey Guy, Steve Barrett, and you're listening to the Disney Nerds Podcast.
This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by TouringPlans.com. Spend less time in line and more time riding your favorite attractions. Visit TouringPlans.com.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 519 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going and welcome back. On this week's show, well, it's time for a wheel of attractions. And to help me out spin that wheel, I've got two of my co-hosts. The first I have is Jimmy. Hey Jimmy, how's it going?
What is going on? How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Is that like 2 weeks in a row?
2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, that was you and Ian last week. Guys, if you missed it, it was Jimmy and Ian doing their trip report from down in Walt Disney World in January. And I think Ian's already on his way back.
So, Kim basically says, I have to record now to justify the cost of the new office.
There you go. So Jimmy's broadcasting from the new studio office that he's just created. So we're going through a little bit of adjustments as we get the sounds just right. To help us also tonight, we have Amanda. Hey, Amanda, how are you doing?
Hello, I'm well.
Awesome. If everybody remembers, Amanda was back a couple shows, and we basically talked about a lot of different things. And we had such a fun time, we asked Amanda back to help us out with tonight's show. So thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, so when Amanda was on the first time, before we get to the wheel, we forgot to ask her, and when I say we, I mean me. I forgot to ask you the most important question we do with our Disney nerd interviews. And that question is, Amanda, what made you a Disney nerd?
I blame my parents. They brought me to Disney when I was younger. They're not as much nerds as I am, but it all started then. So I just kept going back, all the movies, watching when I was little, and I just love it.
How old were you on your first trip?
That's a good question. I don't think I was one. So probably, I'd say 8 months, because my brother's older than me. So they took him when he was a little older.
Right. Nice. What's your oldest memory?
So there's a picture.
Okay.
I don't remember being anywhere, but it was at the Yacht and Beach Club. We were on the sand. And it was just a picture of me and my brother and my dad. We're just on a chair.
Nice.
Have you ever thought of like recreating that?
No, because my dad hates Disney now. he took us too many times when we were younger.
I burned out. Well,
I think I did the reverse. Like, I think my kids, like, they still like it, but they're not as enthusiastic enthusiastic about it as me and my wife are.
Right.
Because I took them so often. I was kind of the same way. My first trip probably when I was 11. But my mom is a giant Disney nerd. My dad could care less. He likes to go every now and then, but that's not really his thing. But my mom and my mom's sister, my nanny, which Ed has met because they go to our meetups, and my first cousin Michelle, and I've done multiple trips with them as a kid. And then, my wife's first trip was our honeymoon, and then that was in 2000, and we didn't go again until 2006, and brought our kids. And then, but the best trips we've had is after the kids had grown and me and my wife do the adult trips.
Right.
Okay, guys. So for tonight's show, we're going to be doing the Wheel of Attractions. To remind everybody what the wheel is, in my office, I have a carnival wheel mounted with every Walt Disney World attraction. We're going to spin the wheel, and wherever it lands, whoever turn it is going to discuss whatever the attraction is. Basically, we call it a brain dump because you're coming up with information on the spot. We're not prepping this. We're not getting ready beforehand. So it's kind of cool to see what kind of surfaces first, and then we'll fill in the details about the ride and stuff like that. Okay, so what do you think, guys? You ready to go with this?
Yep.
Jimmy, I think you're going to spin first to break the ice tonight. So all right. Let me know.
All right. Here we go.
Okay. The wheel is loaded with over 187 attractions, different rides, and different things you could do at Walt Disney World. And our first one is the Liberty Square Riverboat. Oh, that's a great one.
I mean, I think this is a very underrated attraction. I think if you don't know, I think, you know, if you don't know, you don't know. But I think a lot of people walk by Liberty Square and Frontierland and they see it going by and they make, you know, they just assume that it's just a little riverboat ride, which it kind of is. But to me, the cool thing about it is the different viewpoints and vantage points you get. So especially if somebody likes to take pictures and videos, you get some really great scenes of Big Thunder Mountain and also of the Haunted Mansion, which is, you know, Ed is my favorite attraction.
Sure.
But then also the narration on that is incredible. The Mark Twain narration is just really, really well done.
Right.
I just have one bad memory on there. I went with my fiance Anthony. I can't remember when it was, but it was a hot day and it was so busy. And I was like, you know what? Let's just go on it. Maybe we'll cool down. We did not cool down. We were sweating. I mean, the narration, like you said, it's cool. It's fun. It was nice, but we were just like, oh, we picked the wrong ride.
Oh, sometimes, yeah. And I tell you what, depending on where you stand or you sit on the boat itself, it could get worse because there's a bunch of fumes coming up from the engine down there.
Right.
I don't think we're talking about a real steam engine. I think we've got something else going, which it's the way the park operates down there. But you just have to look where to stand. Every so often there was a breeze. I got on it this summer, was really lucky. Nobody was on it, like maybe 3 or 4 people. And I got a great video, some great audio from it. If you guys want to hear it, go over to our YouTube channel, the Disney Nerds Podcast YouTube. You can kind of see it over there. And I think what Jimmy was saying was right. The best part of it is once it disappears from the public's view and goes kind of behind Tom Sawyer Island, that's when you start seeing some of the fun stuff.
I actually, years ago during the Festival of the Arts, bought a piece of a limited edition G Clay that our friend Kevin John did, and that's what it is. It's of the Liberty Bell kind of floating down the river with kind of Big Thunder over there. And it's a cool piece. So I live in from the New Orleans area, so the riverboat thing really resonates with me.
Oh sure.
Right. So it's just a cool thing. And I agree though, it can be. I have a picture of my daughter when she was a teenager. And the face she was making, she was hot all day. I mean, we would go in September, and it's not a good place to cool off. Unless, you know, I think sometimes if you can get up in the front of the boat, if you can get on quickly and find a spot, there's some benches and stuff up there. So
Right. Maybe
that's a little bit helpful, but you're right. It's not necessarily the coolest spot. You're better off probably going to go and watch Philhar Magic or something.
Yep.
When I was on, it was pretty cool too, because I was catching the daytime parade as we were coming back. So I was able to watch a dragon come by shooting fire and things like that in Frontierland. And just kind of let everybody know, if you're not sure, this is located in Liberty Square, across from the Hall of Presidents, and kind of a little bit across from Columbia Harbor House and the Haunted Mansion, that whole area there. What's cool is you see the backside of the Haunted Mansion as you're going around behind there and coming back, which is fun. And yeah, just all around generally fun time. A lot of sounds is equal to what you're seeing. So fun time. You definitely should check it out. I'd say it's probably about a 20-minute time shot there from beginning to end. Usually the line goes pretty well once the boat comes back. Everybody gets off on the bottom and loads it on the top, or vice versa. So there's no controversy there.
Okay. What? I just wanted to do a quick Google search and see if it's, because I want to say it is a true steam engine.
Okay. Well, then I'm not sure what the fumes are coming out, other than maybe that's just part of the operation.
I think it has,
what's it burning to make the steam?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it has engines that make the steam, but I mean, it has a steam whistle, so there's steam somewhere.
Right.
You can see when they blow the whistle, you can see the steam.
Well, we're at Walt Disney World, and did you know that when you're walking down Main Street and you smell cookies, they're not necessarily making them.
Right.
I'm just saying, you never know. It could be a little inboard outboard in the back of that thing underneath the wheel.
According to the...
Or the wheels. It's on tracks.
According to Wikipedia, it is the Liberty Bell, formerly the Richard F. Irvine, is a steam-powered riverboat ride vehicle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's just find out how it makes the steam.
I'm interested. I think the paddle wheel and the steam actually power the boat, though.
Oh, no, I'm positive that's the case. Yeah, because they're always off. You see a lot of steam coming off out of the bow on a couple places as you're just sitting there waiting and stuff like that. But there still has to be a heat source. You know, it used to be wood, coal, depending on what time of the century it was. Okay, so let's go on for the next spin. And Amanda, it's going to be your turn to take a shot at this. So you ready for it?
Let's see.
Here we go. Okay, slowing down, and it's... the meet and greet Anna and Elsa from Frozen. Okay, fair enough.
I've never done it. I've seen it happening if I'm in line for Frozen. The wait time is always ridiculously long.
Sure. Yeah.
All the little kids love Anna and Elsa. And I work in a preschool, and every day I hear, "Can you play Elsa?" They love Frozen.
Oh, it's funny. That came on the other day, and the fourth graders were all booing it out. So it definitely is, the age factor is,
Oh, for sure. Oh, that's all I do all day. I just play Disney music.
Nice. We went on it, or not on it, but we visited them a couple years ago, maybe a year or two after it opened. Hope wanted to go, so Hope, Quinn, and I went and visited. We got some good pictures. Both the princess and the queen were there, and it's a great area. I mean, most meet and greets aren't as elaborate, I think, as what they did with Frozen. And I think that we're expecting that from every new attraction, where they would have their own houses. Literally, they have houses for themselves and a stable.
The only one I can think of that's as elaborate would be the Ariel one in Magic Kingdom, because they're in that new Fantasyland. They built that whole grotto over there. So that one's fairly elaborate too. But you're right, most of them I don't think of that way.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much. But it's definitely worth doing. Totally worthwhile. And they're fun. The girls that act out that thing are just so accommodating to whatever you want to ask and talk about for the kids and such like that.
Right.
So it's fun. But again, it's a meet and greet, and there's things to do, people to meet. And that's the place.
Look, I am all for more of those areas that eat up a lot of the little kids and stuff like that. That get them out of the way and give them something. And look, it gives them something to do. And I think it also allows some of the parents to enjoy Epcot a little more, because it was a tough place. If you had little kids, it was not an easy, or Showcase was not an easy place to visit. It was kind of boring for little kids. So.
Actually, I guess you got to kind of go around World Showcase and check that out, because we'll start there and you skip over to, you have Mexico also with some kids stuff. Mm-hmm. China, maybe not as much, but then, now then it dries up, because we're talking like France, Germany and Italy. Right. There's not much for kids over there at all.
And they've done, in the past, they did a good job at the little Kid Cot stations.
Sure. Yeah, but you got to find them. That's the only side of that.
Yeah.
Well, they do the passport thing too, which is fun for the kids to do.
Very true. And it's a thing where you have to put a little effort into it, but it's worth it. Okay, cool. Anything else about it? Jimmy, when did you visit those girls?
I don't think I have. I've definitely went in a little store outside. I don't think I've ever gone into the, I don't think I've ever waited for the whole, through the whole thing for the meet and greet. My pro tip is go get a reservation at one of the restaurants that do the princess.
Let them come to you.
Well, and then you get it out the way. Like if your kid's dying to meet, one of the princesses, if you do one of the breakfasts, then you can kind of maybe save yourself from waiting 2 hours in line to see Elsa.
I tell you, I almost don't want to admit this, but that was one of the hardest things I had to do with the kids, is do the character meals with the live people. I didn't mind doing I didn't mind doing the masked people with, Mickey or whatever. That's fine. I can interact with those guys. They know they're supposed to be fake, and that's cool. But when I'm talking to a princess and she's a late, she knows she's not a, I know she's not, and it's tough for me to even with my kids there. And so I'm not as like receptive to that, especially if it's just Leslie and I and things like that at a character meeting. But we do it for the kids, so we don't do it much anymore.
We did you did one with us though at fur characters at Ohana, which I thought was fine. Sure.
The Ohana characters are awesome.
They're only going to interact as much as you want to interact with them. I mean, if you're not going to show any interest, they're just going to pass you by. They get other people to see.
Sure.
Right. I feel like they gravitate more towards the kids anyways too.
That's true. And you kind of, the wink and they move on.
So. I can't lie. I do get a little excited when I see Stitch.
Yeah, everybody has favorites. Sure. Definitely. Okay, guys. My turn for a spin. That's something really good. Okay. Slowing down. And it is... Bruce's Shark World.
Well, hi!
Name's Bruce. It's alright, I understand. Why trust a shark, right?
So,
what's a couple of bites like you doing out, son?
Okay, so Bruce's Shark World, I'm taking a guess that's over in Epcot, and that's Living with the Sea. That is... one of the exhibits in there, that you go through the big shark mouth, and him and his friends are in there telling us about sharks, and there's little aquarium tanks in there and such like that. I don't really go to that side of the aquarium when we go through there, because it's mobbed with kids, because there's really a lot of good picture opportunities over there. I don't know, am I close? Is that what this is?
I'm guessing. Let me...
I think it's it.
I think you're onto something.
The entire aquarium is great. The last time we were down, we went in there and did a little bit of an extended visit, which was really, really fun, all the way down to the end of the walkway into the aquarium and hung out down the bottom. And we lucked out because we saw one of the feeding sessions. So they do it over the course of the day, and you'll have a cast member inside basically telling you what's going on, what fish are they using those and stuff like that.
You're exactly right. So Bruce's Shark World, ready for a fish-friendly fun at this interactive walkthrough exhibit at the Seas with Nemo and Friends. And it's with the big Bruce that you can take the iconic picture in his mouth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're a fun time. We tend to go in there to get on you know, Finding Nemo the ride and just kind of cruise out. So I was really happy last time we had the time to kind of spend some time in there.
I have a, I really like dolphins. Mm-hmm. And so I enjoy when they're active and they're really in that tank. I enjoy going and watch that. And then I also almost every time go see the manatees.
Right. Yep.
So I would also say just pro tip, go watch the Animal Kingdom TV series on Disney Plus, because there's a good bit of stuff from the manatees over there. So it's really cool.
Oh, I didn't realize. So they're doing actually some animals over at Epcot. Because
they do. They do cover some stuff at Epcot too in the seas. Manatees.
Good. Very good. I definitely will check that out. And yeah, like I said, for you guys with the young kids, definitely worth a stop in here. Right across from Turtle Talk with Crush.
And I feel like if you don't have a picture with your kids in Bruce's mouth, I mean, that's like...
Well, I got to get the kids in there next time, I guess, now.
Well, I think my kids...
You know, it was after they were that small.
I think my kids, as teenagers, reenacted that photo. Like, I think they went back and did it as teenagers, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, right. We've been, over the course of time, reenacting a photograph on Winnie the Pooh's bench. And the point is that we have to keep finding it. Because they've been moving it around. It's Disney Springs for a while, and then it started out at, I forget what park, but yeah, you try to find that.
So it's like moved?
Religious to it.
So it's moved to like Disney Springs, and it was in a park?
Yeah, it's been all over the place.
That's something.
Yeah, Goofy had the same thing, that Magic Kingdom bench with Goofy on it. I think the last time we saw it was the Backlot Tour.
Hmm.
Yeah, anyway. Okay, so that wasn't that big, but still fun. Okay, Jimmy, back to you. I think we're going to do another round. We're not that far into it.
All right, let's go.
There you go. Okay. Oh, okay, awesome. Frontierland Shooting Arcade, or the Shooting Arcade.
Fun time. This may be one of the only good things that came out of COVID.
Yes.
But they made this free now. So there's no quarters required. You can just go
there,
pick up a rifle and shoot. It's great.
I found that a couple years late.
Yeah. So it's awesome.
I didn't realize that last trip.
Yeah. You don't need any quarters or anything. There used to be a little change machine over there. It was always broken. Mm-hmm.
Right, but it's
really cool. It's really well done. It's cute. I mean, I don't know if any of you have like a Bass Pro Shop or a Cabela's close by, but they typically have a something similar to this kind of in those stores that where you just kind of shoot random things, and it you know, it's interactive, so it kind of makes things happen as you hit certain targets. So I think it's a good time. I think this is one of the things that I've always talked about, things that kind of are off the beaten path that, you know, most of the people won't stop by because they're running to, you know, Space Mountain or Big Thunder Mountain or wherever, and they don't take the time to go see these little things that I think are cooler and important.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Have you tried that, Amanda?
I have not. I always go past it and I always look at it.
We've always tried to hit it once in a while. The kids always liked it. But you're right. You know, it's tough to have quarters on you and have the right amount and the change machine, right, it's broken. But once I found out it was free, and it wasn't really jammed, I walked right in there and took a couple rounds and then walked away. It was fun. And everything is very reactive. So they're definitely spending time on making sure everything works in there and it's not, it's like dumpy. I think a couple trips way back when it was not doing too well, you were hitting stuff that weren't jumping and things like that. Great now, though.
I think it's also probably more fun at night.
Yeah, you'd be able to see better. That's for sure.
Just because everything, you know, with the backlight and stuff like that, and just being daytime, your eyes aren't adjusted and you can't see everything quite as well as at night.
Oh, yeah. Another good tip for this one is if you're going to be watching the parades and you want to sit down at the parade a little early, this would be a great area of the park to kind of plant your spot. have mom or dad save the spot for, and then dad or mom take the kids over to the shooting gallery for a little while. Definitely keeps some squirming on that half hour, 45 minute wait. And it's really fun watching it at Frontierland. If you've ever watched a parade over there, very, very good time.
The last two times I've watched, which was on this past trip when I was there in, you know, end of January, the last two times I watched the parade was either in Frontierland or kind of at Liberty Square, that area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes it so much easier to actually do more stuff because the parade starts over in Frontierland. So
yeah, you catch in the beginning. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So very fun. So yeah, definitely check out the Frontier Shooting Arcade, the Shooting Gallery. I'm sure is a better name for it because it's fun. Okay, Amanda, you are up for another spin. Here we go. Okay. And it is... There you go.
I love to ride Goofy's Barnstormer.
The wheel almost knows that you're like a preschooler. Is it preschool or kindergarten?
Preschool.
Like it knows. It keeps giving you the, give you like the meet and greet and then the Barnstormer.
Yep. This is Goofy's.
That's right.
Yep. One, right? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I know it's a Magic Kingdom.
Yep. Over.
Isn't it back by like the circus?
Yeah, exactly.
Area?
Yeah. It's right okay. Past Dumbo, kind of back toward the train station. Right.
Yeah, I honestly ride it a lot just to chill out at the end of the night after the fireworks. No one's on it. I go on it a couple times, end my night.
Yeah, and actually, you're kind of small enough to really appreciate it too, I think.
It is not it's not big person approved, and I'm not a huge person, but I mean, it's definitely, the seats are designed for kids and smaller people, obviously. I've ridden it, but you know, I've kind of got a, my legs are a little long for it, so. Right. It's not the most comfortable. Like, I need to be in a car by myself where I can kind of spread out a little bit because it's a little tight in there.
Yep, pretty much. I like the jokes and everything else around as you're going on the tracks. You got to keep your eyes open for them. Visual gags and just literal signs that say some funny stuff.
Flying through the billboard.
Yeah, and the song's cool. Great, too.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure the song goes while you're riding around it.
I think it does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's fun. Definitely meant for the small ones. Well, it's a great place for it too. So
it's also a great like introductory yes. Roller coaster. If you have a small one who may be a little worried about going on Big Thunder or Seven Dwarfs, it's kind of a good one to take them on and let them understand what's going to happen, and then you can move up to maybe Seven Dwarfs and then you know, yeah. Big Thunder. And so
I think in all the parks, this is absolutely the starter roller coaster. There is no one more simpler or gentler.
Yeah.
And this quick. One still has, and it has a couple of those quick bump type of like humps type of things. That's
the, I don't think Seven Dwarfs is much more aggressive.
It does get kind of quick, and it does have kind of those turns and such like that, and it goes inside and things like, you know, gets dark.
It's a step above, but I don't know, you know, it's not crazy either. Intense. I don't think it's going to freak anybody out. The seats are equally as uncomfortable.
Yes.
Yes. And they sway too.
Yeah.
Okay. And it definitely has a governor on it because as you're going down the hill, it's slowing you down. So there is that. Mm-hmm. This is the Barnstormer. As far as definitely keeping it, one speed. But so, yeah, again, for the kids, it is great. It's fun. And Goofy just adds the right amount of humor to it.
Just as a spinoff, quick, what would be your progression? Like if you're starting with Barnstormer and then probably Seven Dwarfs, so then where are you going?
I would say probably Big Thunder because space is still killer in the dark. So kids just can't handle, I think, the darkness of not knowing what's happening.
And then probably Expedition Everest and then Rock and Roller Coaster.
Yeah.
That's my.
And the dark, like I said, the Dark Ones could be the very last. So Expedition Everest could be before even those, you know, whatever the Dark Ones are.
I would put Slinky before them.
Oh, that's right. We forgot Slinky altogether. So now Slinky, I think, would be right after Seven Dwarfs or right before Seven Dwarfs, because Slinky isn't that, it's a fun one, but it's not that crazy.
You'd put Slinky above or below Big Feather?
I'd say Slinky'd be before Seven Dwarfs.
Oh.
I would agree with that.
Seven Dwarfs gets some speed. It goes around some sharp curves. It goes in the dark and it comes out. Yeah, but Slinky is just fun. And it stops in the middle, so you get your breath back.
Right.
Yeah.
Just, you know. And as far as the toughest one, it's tough because true roller coasters, then yeah, you're right. It's going to be, my thinking, Rock and Roller Coaster, I think, is probably the toughest.
I mean, I would think if you're going to consider all of them, it would be Guardians, Rock and Roller Coaster, and Tron.
I'm not considering Guardians, I think, a roller coaster, or should I? That's what I'm saying, because Guardians, I think, would be worse than Rock and Roller Coaster.
Oh, really? You think?
I think there's so much.
I mean, Rock and Roller Coaster goes upside down.
Yeah, I mean, I take that back. You know what it is? I think Guardians has so much visual that the kids will be so psyched with it that there's not a lot of noticing the ride. So, yeah, I still think you're right. You're right. The Aerosmith would definitely be a little bit more chill, harder, actually, on them.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that it does that corkscrew upside down, and, you know, it's a different.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just on it. You know, kids are on that one young.
Completely, like, side note. Side note to side note. Last year, I went to Kim and I went to Universal, and I rode the Velociraptor.
Oh, that's crazy! That's a good one.
The Velocicoaster. It was scary for me, and I'd ride anything. But you're literally hanging upside down over the water for like a minute, like for a few seconds, and there's no shoulder harness.
Right.
It's just a lap. It's like a lap bar that goes over you, and it's built to hold you in. But I felt like I've got like a gut and no butt. So like I feel like I could probably slide out of this thing.
Those are the people that can't ride this one. They have a
If you get a gut and you can't really bring the restraint all the way down, but then you have no butt and you got a skinny butt and skinny legs, I feel like, you know, like I feel like I could, I felt like I could slip out of it. Like I was like holding myself in.
I was good. That's why I was great.
It was, I was scared. I would probably do it again, but it freaked me out a little bit.
Right. I don't think they have that type of thrill ride.
Oh, they don't. Not at Disney, no.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-mm. I think they could.
Even Rip Ride Rocket at Universal is way more extreme than anything at Disney.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, very much so. Okay. So let me take my spin. See what we get this time around. Okay, here we go. And it is Indiana Jones Epic Stunt Spectacular.
Are we good? Thumbs up. Thank you. Are you ready? All right. Camera's ready?
Camera's ready.
Party set.
Five.
Roll cameras.
Rolling. At speed.
Comma 16, 124. Apple. Cairo and Hunter. Take one. Mark. Playback. Backup.
And action.
Incredible. One of my favorites at Hollywood Studios because it's been there so long and it has not grown old. If anything, it's gotten better with age in that it's because the movies are still around. We all know who Indiana Jones is. It's never gone away. Mm-hmm. Also, I think the other fun thing to keep this going is it's still the original story of Hollywood Studios. This is a working studio, and in this spectacular here, we see what goes on behind the scenes. Once they yell cut, we get the director or the assistant director coming out telling us what's going on. We have the stunt guys. We have the special effects guys. We even have the explosive guy come out and tell us what's going to be going on. Very, 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 very fun time. And probably one of the best things about it in the last couple of years, our good friend Mark is had been one of the cast, and he's just really, really good in that position. It comes across.
We're going to have to, when we're there together in July, We're gonna have to figure out when he's gonna be around and where he's at, because he does a couple different things. He does Savi's workshop in Galaxy's Edge. He does the Frozen sing along sometimes in Indiana Jones. But I would love to go over to Indiana Jones and watch one of the shows that he's in.
Yeah, definitely. What do you guys think?
I honestly haven't done it in a while, but it is fun. When I catch it, I catch it.
I think it is a cool place. Like, you know, we mentioned that, the riverboat may not be the best place to go cool down. It's a big covered area with a lot of fans.
Right.
Not necessarily air conditioned, but much in the summer, it's always going to be breezy because they got fans blowing on you from every direction, and it's big and covered. So as long as they're not cramming you in there, I think it's a good reprieve from the heat and a place just to kind of go sit down for a little while. And the show's really good. And as an Indiana Jones fan, it's fun to watch.
Sure. And they do jam you in there, though, unfortunately, Jimmy. When you have that summertime crowds, it's amazing how the back passageway, the walkway behind these chairs, kind of where you have some of the wheelchair areas and things like that, they have a walkway and then they have a short wall. It's only about maybe 2 feet, 3 feet tall. That's actually considered seating at one point as they fill up the whole stadium. So they just keep people coming in there. And it wasn't that bad watching the show from back there either. So it doesn't matter.
The way that show takes place, I don't think there's any bad seat. No. Like, there's no bad seat in the place. I mean,
right. If I have to give any tip to the show, is like, say, try to get in there. And a lot of times you don't have a choice. They kind of direct you where to sit. But the left side of the audience, I think, is the better side to leave through. Meaning when you leave, you go through a lot more artifacts and things like that. And then you used to hit that store at the end there, too. When you walk out, that they turned into the, what was the Indiana Jones last movie? Because they turned that little shop that they had at the end of the ride, it became the movie shop then. They had some drinks in there and they had some exhibits from the movie.
That was the Dial of Destiny.
Right.
That shop didn't last long, though. I mean, they were using it to promote the movie, and it didn't. I would also say make sure you go like by the front of the show and go to the well and pull on the rope that says "Do not pull rope."
Right, man. Have you ever done that? You know what that is? Okay.
No.
In the front of the Indiana Jones ride, there's a well to the left of where the line goes in. And it's a wooden well, and there's a big sign on it. It says, "Do not pull the rope." But there's a little, like, red line through the word "not." So when you pull the rope, sometimes nothing happens at all. And sometimes what you'll do is you'll hear this Australian explorer down in the well saying, "Don't pull the rope. Don't pull the rope," and you would pull it again. He's like, "Ah!" Boom, and he falls to the bottom of the well.
Careful, deciphering an artifact down here. The 50 years of sorrow shall befall the destroyer of this vessel. Oh no! Blast it all! Don't pull the rope! You don't want to break the arc! Oh dear. I say, stop mucking about up there!
It's a total, like, show in itself, but it's not a guarantee that it's going to happen every time you go. Fun, fun, fun.
Good stuff. I love good stuff, though.
That's on a video somewhere.
Right. Yeah, I should look it up. I'll look it up. Sounds like the sword in Magic Kingdom.
Yep, exactly. Another type of show that stops people. And it's kind of cool because if you're in the know, it's a fun thing to do.
By the way, last time I was there, I did, well, quickly to Indiana Jones, I think probably the last time I was there, Lisa got to be part of the show.
Oh, nice. She was one of the actors
She was like one of the villagers or something, I think, if I'm not mistaken. I think that was the last time I actually watched the show.
Excellent.
But talking about the Sword in the Stone, I was walking through Magic Kingdom last time I was there and saw somebody was able to pull it. And I thought that only happened when Merlin was out there, but apparently apparently it also happens randomly. Like it'll.
Gotcha. There's somebody on TikTok or something that's a guy that keeps trying to do it. And his big shtick is that it never happens. He's like, today's the day.
I think that guy, I watched a video and there was a little girl right before him pulled it and it came. It released. He went up and it didn't. So.
That's funny.
Okay, guys. So what do you think? Have you been on any of these rides? Let us know. Send us an email. Ed, tell everybody how to get in touch with the show. Oh, that's me.
Send us an email at any of the hosts' names. So it's ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com. Jimmy, Sam, Jen, Charlotte, Lisa, anybody you'd like to write to. Or if you have a general question for all of us, send it to questions@thedisneynerdspodcast.com. We have the Disney Nerds Podcast Facebook page. We also have the Disney Nerds group. So definitely send us an email. Let us know what you think of the show.
Okay, guys. So that's it for show number 519 of the Disney Nerds Podcast, The Wheel of Attractions. For Amanda, for Jimmy, this is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Quaharini.
See you real soon.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So hurry back, we would like your company.
Hurry back, hurry back.
Fun story, Amanda. Ed probably knows this, but Raymond. I actually know the guy who he was kind of based on.
Oh, wow.
So when they were making the movie, and look, I heard this from his brother. I'm good friends with his brother, who, Ed, you know, Hilliard's, his brother is, this is the guy that he's loosely based on is Hilliard's uncle. And I heard this from Hilliard's dad that this was a thing. That when they were making the movie, they came down to where we live, which is south of New Orleans, kind of in the bayous and the swamp. And a bunch of Imagineers came and they went and did a swamp tour. And Hilliard's uncle, if you come to the meetups, you'll probably meet Hilliard. He's my cousin's boyfriend, was their swamp tour captain. And they did it just kind of an idea that, you know, a bunch of Imagineers, they wanted to do a swamp tour to get the drawings and all that kind of correct in the swamp, but they liked him so much that they partially based this character on him. So, you know, you take that with a grain of salt, but
right.
In the movie, in the credits, there's a special thanks section, and it's one of it is Captain Reggie Domang, which is Hilliard's uncle.